You are listening to the Purpose Church High School Ministry Podcast. Whether this is your first episode or you've heard them all, God has something to say to you. Our vision is to see every student everywhere following Jesus, and we hope this message helps you take your next step in your faith. To learn more about our high school ministry, visit our website, purposechurch.com/HSM, and check us out on Instagram at purposehsm. We hope you enjoy today's episode.
As we jump into our series, many of you have goals or desires for how you want to end this school year, how you want to set yourself up for next year. And maybe some of you who are really planners, you know where you want to be in 4 years. You know what school you want. You know what job, what car. You want a good relationships or friends. And a lot of those things are definitely good, but it doesn't mean those good things doesn't mean that they are what's best for us or that they're what we actually need. And so we've challenged you with the question, what if we made every goal in our lives thinking, what does God want for me? Not what do I want, what do my parents or friends want, but what does the God of the universe who loves me and gave himself for me, how does he want me to live my life? And the good news is, the Bible tells us exactly how God wants us to live our lives. In the Old Testament, in Micah chapter 6, verse 8, Scripture says, he, God, has shown you, O mortal, us humans, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Jesus said, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. Walking humbly with God, remaining in his love every day, living out what God wants for our life, it involves sanctification. Everybody say sanctification. In this series, that's all we've been talking about as we've been studying the book of Philippians. And Kyle, one of our junior boys leaders, he opened us up in week one and explained from Philippians 1 and 3 that sanctification is a process that happens after we give our lives to Jesus, but before we die. So there's this simple diagram that Kyle had that I thought was so helpful. So we live our lives when we're born, and we are sinful. We disobey God. This world is broken. We don't operate how we were designed to. But then if we let Jesus into our life, the Bible says if we declare Jesus is Lord, if we believe that he is God, that he lived the perfect life, died for our sins, and rose again in order to save us, the moment we proclaim in our hearts that Jesus is Lord, we experience salvation. Another part involved in salvation is justification. Everyone say justification. Justification. And justification is kind of like that, if you've heard that phrase, it's just as if I'd, justification, just as if I'd never sinned. So the moment we place our trust in Jesus, in the Father's eyes, he sees the righteousness of Jesus. That's salvation. But then the Bible talks about glorification, and glorification happens after we die and we meet with God. And if our faith is in Jesus, the Bible says that God will glorify us, that he will restore us into his original design, that we will actually be holy as he meant us to be. But then there's this whole middle part, right? There's this whole part of our lives on earth where maybe we have put our faith in Jesus and we are saved, we are justified, but we are not yet glorified. And what happens in the middle is that process of sanctification. And that is Christ making us more like him. And it's a gift. And in week two, last week, Haley showed us how sanctification really is surrendering to God some of our ugliest parts so that he can clean us up, so that he can make us look more like him. Things that we fall into all the time, like gossip or complaining, slandering, meaning spreading lies about other people, uncontrolled anger, tearing other people down. Jesus, in the process of sanctification, wants to take those parts of our hearts and change us so that we look more like him. And I appreciated how both Haley and Kyle reminded us that the process of sanctification, as challenging as it can be, it's not about our willpower. And I've been so guilty of this as I walk with Christ. Every time I notice sin in myself, I'm like, okay, God, I'll just try harder. Like, just give me another chance tomorrow. I could do it. But the thing is, sanctification starts, is sustained, and it ends with the presence of God. You can't change without God. Today, some Christians in the church, they use sanctification kind of interchangeably with other terms like spiritual transformation or spiritual formation, being formed into Christ. And I love how this pastor, Will Hernandez, defines spiritual formation. He says it's the process of being with Christ in order to become like Christ and consequently live for Christ. It starts with being with Christ. Sanctification is impossible without the Holy Spirit. God makes it possible to become like God. Maybe you've heard that, like, you are a combination of the five people you spend the most time with. How can you become like someone who you don't know, who you don't spend time with? If we want to become like God, we have to spend time with him. We have to be with him. And I love that God gives sanctification a purpose. It's to live for Christ, that the world would know him, that his kingdom, his family, the family of God, would spread and grow throughout more of the world. So as we conclude this series tonight, we are going to look at how the last chapter of Philippians ends. And I think Paul, the author, is going to give us three more insights into what God might have for us in the process of sanctification. And I believe he gives us a challenge, a reminder, and a warning. So read with me Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. I plead with Idoia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my coworkers, whose names are in the book of life. Paul gives us a challenge, and it's this: to resolve conflict, especially with brothers and sisters in the church. Conflict is unavoidable. We are in process people. We are at best people who are still being sanctified by Christ. But conflict is made even worse when we avoid resolving it. And Paul, I think, makes a really interesting point here that he points out when you have an argument or get hurt from someone within the church, it should actually be a little bit easier for you to resolve that conflict because you can share the same mind because you share Christ. Both of your names are in the book of life. And that's all the more reason not to avoid conflict, all the more reason not to hang on to bitterness, but to resolve conflict quickly and to forgive each other. And sometimes when we face conflict, we know that God can teach us a lot through it, but sometimes we're like, oh, God wants to teach that person who I'm angry at right now, he wants to teach them a lot of things. And we're more focused on the lesson that we think God should teach the other person. But don't let the enemy have that part of you. God wants to teach you. He wants to be with you and sanctify you. Maybe he wants to humble you. Maybe he wants to show you how much he has forgiven your sin by showing you, letting you experience how much brokenness you have. And I think when we prolong conflict, when we hang on to bitterness, when we withhold forgiveness, that is a sure delay to our sanctification. Don't let your pride let you miss out on God's plan for you. My advice is to pray. Whenever there's someone that you're annoyed with, maybe you don't even know why, pray. Pray for wisdom. Pray for that person. Talk directly to the person you're having a conflict. Take Haley's advice from last week. Go directly to that person. And if you guys try to talk about it and it doesn't get worked out, then bring in a mentor or a trusted adult to help. That's kind of what Paul did for these women in the church. And next month, we're going to be talking all about relationships. We're going to be talking about dating, family, and friendship. And we'll talk a lot about how to resolve conflict in each of those relationships. But my encouragement for tonight is to always ask God for the strength to obey him and never be afraid to ask for help from us, from your leaders, from your mentors. We love you. And then Paul continues, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Paul gives us a reminder. The source of joy and peace is God. And because of God's goodness, you can experience God. And because you can experience God, you can live with overflowing joy and peace. I believe most people in the world are looking for everlasting joy and peace. If you talk to people who believe and practice other religions, if you hear stories of people who suffer from addictions, maybe people who are workaholics or people in debt because they keep buying what they can't afford, at the root of a lot of those behaviors is they're trying to find peace and happiness. But none of those things will last. Real joy comes from the Lord. It's only possible in him. He invented joy. He is joy. And so if we want to experience it, we have to be connected with him. And to rejoice here, it's a command. That means it's a chosen attitude, not a fleeting feeling. And no matter what our circumstances are, again, we can choose joy because we know the source of joy, and that's God. Last week, Haley's challenge was for us to avoid complaining for a whole week. That was kind of hard, right? As you start to think about this past week, and maybe some of the complaints you had, maybe some of your attitude, and you're kind of feeling like, ooh, this might be a problem. One way you can combat complaining is by choosing joy. And then Paul talks about something else that we will constantly face and feel, and that is anxiety. Anxiety is to feel worried about an uncertain future, an uncertain event in your future. And sometimes anxiety gets so bad, we like kind of get paralyzed. And whenever we feel anxious, it is also a command for us to pray. And I love that Paul snuck in there in that verse, the Lord is near. No matter where you are, you can always pray before or after a test, on your way to your friend's house, whenever God brings someone to mind, you can pray. And Paul doesn't say pray when you feel like it or when it makes sense. And it usually won't make sense when we're experiencing anxiety. It won't make sense for us to stop everything and pray. But when we do, we experience God and with him a peace that doesn't make sense to the world, but is the greatest gift. And people who overflow with joy and peace are different kind of people. Think about the most joyful person you know. Think about the most peaceful person you know. We are so used to today people being rushed and impatient, but God's people should be growing in the opposite way. And it doesn't mean that we pretend things aren't hard. It doesn't mean that we don't face difficult things. It just means we know who's walking with us through it all. In Psalm 23, the psalmist David says, even though I walk in the darkest valley, some translations say, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And then, finally, Paul leaves us with a warning. And he says to carefully evaluate your thoughts and what you fill your mind with. Verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I think we'll find more and more in 2026 that this warning is clearly for us today. Over the last few years, especially our graduating senior classes, they have kind of led this charge in HSM of encouraging each other to get our screen time down. Haley and I remember there was a student who we started walking with when she was a freshman, sophomore, and she, as we got to know her more, she very graciously shared with us that she was really struggling with anxiety, some depression. She didn't feel like she had any friends. She was lonely. And as she's sharing all this, we're kind of asking, like, okay, how do you spend your days? And she shared with us that her screen time was at like 8 or 9 hours. There are 24 hours in the day. 8 of those hours you should be sleeping. 8 of those hours you should be in school. Like, a lot of you guys are all in extracurriculars and homework. That shouldn't leave that much time for screen time. And so our hearts were just breaking for her. But what God did in her heart is she eventually deleted a lot of the distractions that were on her phone. By the time she was a senior, I think she got her screen time down to like 1 or 2 hours a day max. And we praise God for that, because we were just encouraging her, like, hey, when you're spending those hours on TikTok or whatever it is, what are you actually doing? You're filling your mind with the voices of people who might be okay people, but they don't love Jesus. You are filling, you're allowing your mind to go to comparison of yourself or to other people. You're allowing your mind to go to complaining and negativity. And when we fill our minds with those things, that's usually what comes out. And I see it in myself. Like, there are weeks where I'm like in my Taylor Swift week, you know, or I'm like in my pop music. And by the end of the week, like, I notice the words coming out of my mouth are not as gentle as they are when I am trying to connect with God more intentionally. And so I want us to practice, just for a moment, practicing verse 8. I want you to reflect on your day or week and come up with a different answer for what is something true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy. Just take a moment and let's fill our minds with these good things from the Lord. And if you couldn't come up with anything or that was kind of hard for you, they call it practice for a reason. I saw some of you taking a picture of this. Practice. Practice this every day. Practice this multiple times a day if you need it. I know I do. And then going to verse 9, ask others for help. Paul finishes saying, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me, put it into practice. And what I love is that God designed the process of sanctification to be totally relational, because we need a relationship with God to even be sanctified. And God gives us others, brothers and sisters in the church, to learn from and be transformed alongside. That's why your incredible leaders volunteer and sacrifice their time to be here. They want to pour into you. They want to point you to Christ as we are being sanctified as well. And as we start to close, I want to give us our final challenge in our New Year, New Me series. Every day for the next week, pray whenever you feel anxious. This is going to be hard, but every time you feel anxious, even just a little bit, stop and pray. And it can be a one-sentence prayer. Lord, I need you. Lord, give me peace. Lord, this is hard, this is scary, but you are with me. And then at winter camp this weekend, if you're coming, I want to challenge you to ask a new friend It could be in your life group, someone outside of your life group. Ask a new friend to pray together at every meal. Take 3 minutes and swap prayer requests and pray for each other right then and there. And I am so grateful that as I connect with Christ and I'm on my adventure of being sanctified by him, that I get to do it alongside all of you. We get to experience God together. So with that, let's jump into our life.